You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Welcome to Section 30... Hello. Welcome to Section 31, episode number 66. I'm Dan Hammond.
And I'm Rogue Schindler.
On this week's episode, we're going to cover a little bit of Make It So. We had a double dose of Star Trek tournaments on Saturday previous, and we're going to talk to Ben Hosp, who was a former contestant on Make It So and is still active in the community.
Captain got me on the holodeck with a blaster in my hand. He looked so mad, I thought I was out of the band. I was trying to think of something to say, but my R2 unit gave me away, and the captain looked at me and said, "We're Star Trek."
Well, we had a double tournament over the Saturday, over this last weekend on Saturday. It was our special slipstream format, where the goal of the game is to get 50 points and complete one mission instead of the full 100 points and two missions. I did not do very well. I think I won one game out of the seven I played.
Oh, man.
I went 0-4 in the first tournament and 1-3 in the second tournament. We had six folks out. The pairings worked for four rounds for the first tournament. They did not work for four rounds for the second tournament. But still, I did enjoy myself. I played two decks that I've never played before. What did you end up playing? You did pretty well. Yeah, well, at least you beat me. So what did you do?
I did relatively well. I won two games, and I came within 5 points in my other two games, so, you know, it was nice, and they were fast, and I had a crazy idea that I went ahead and tried, and turned out the craziness was a little too crazy. I did not have as many turns to get everything done. It turns out that in this format, things go really fast, and playing three ships and three commanders, it takes a little while. I played Voyager. Because I had the idea to do a deploy the fleet deck, and I built a whole other deploy the fleet deck with cheap ships and cheap commanders to get, you know, and I was like, we'll do one mission, one really easy mission, get it out of the way, and deploy the fleet and be done. And I was trying to think of a really easy mission to do, and I was thinking like treat plague ship or something, or maybe a 30-point planet mission just to mix things up. And then I realized Caretaker's Array is so easy, and it's always done so quickly. It's integrity, and just to be a little extra cheesy, I threw in Vic Fontaine, because he's got Integrity 7, and Janeway and Rats, and it was, you know, four people attempting as soon as I had four people, and if I was lucky, then I had Vic or Janeway. If I was really lucky, I had both. So it was really easy to get that mission done very quickly, and I could spend the rest of my time playing the Equinox, which it turns out can play with a Voyager. It just loses its little special power of ignoring the point loss for the Equinox crew and Ransom. And then I threw in Khan to be the matching commander for the Delta Flyer. So when I was done with my mission, I could take all three ships and all three captains over to your place, and I wait to get two of my three deploy the fleets for 15 points and 15 points, and that gets me to 50. Or if I can't wait that long, if I'm getting antsy, then I can go with two ships and play all three to play the fleets. But that required getting all three of one card. So it was kind of a balance between trying to decide whether to go ahead and play my extra ship and then dig for my third copy of Deploy the Fleet, which it always seemed to be easier to just start drawing cards or use a tactic I picked up from you, which is the Analyst 7 of 9, looking at the top cards of my deck and then rearranging them or swapping one for one in my hand and then pitching a card to quote-unquote download a ship with Finding Our Way and, you know, shuffle the deck and then, hey, look, I've got two different new cards on top and just keep doing that until I could get my Deploy the Fleets out. So the cons actually ended up being useful in case I lost or couldn't draw into one of my other two captains. But if I had to do again, I would probably drop the flyer. I didn't really need it. Drop a couple of the extraneous personnel. I had a little problem with staffing because I underestimated how many big stars I was going to really need. But in general, it was fast and it was fun and it was not expected.
You know, it's funny. I tried to do the same mission last trip, the Slipstream tournament, at Caretaker's Array, but I was using TOS because they've got a lot of cheap ships and a lot of cheap commanders.
Oh, hey, that's a good call.
No, not really. Because
oh, really?
I had to fly to the Delta Quadrant to solve the mission.
Your cheap ships are not so fast.
Yeah, they were. It was not strong. And I ended up, I had, you know, six ships with matching commanders, so I could play just one.
Oh, man.
It just took too long. I don't know. Maybe I'll try it again sometime.
Yeah, that's entertaining. I had a couple errors. Like, I would fly one ship over, and I was like, oh, if I could fly the Voyager over to your mission, and then I can drop the Delta Flyer later, because it can play to the Voyager place, and then I can worry about staffing later once I'm over there, except that unless you happen to also be playing Delta, I can't actually play my guys on my Voyager at your mission. Because that text
right.
only works in the Delta Quadrant. So, you know, a little learning curve, but it was entertaining.
Well, I got the idea for my deck during the day the previous week because I was in the chat. And Neil and Kevin were both there, and I kind of threw out what the format was. And they said, well, okay, this is what I would do, right, Kevin particularly. I'd play Borg. Play the easy 35-point space mission, assimilate resistance, and drop 5-point drone and or expand the collective on the mission, so you can get 5 points in 3 of 6 ways, pretty much. And it was very quick. I could play at what cost if I needed to, because I've got 6 5-point things and I only need, you know, three of them. It just wasn't fast enough. And the one time it was fast enough, I solved the mission before I got my second Expand the Collective out. So
oh,
I had
no.
to draw from extra drone.
Oh, no.
But it was good. I had a good time. My second deck, which actually did better, was a Starfleet, the Displaced Crew, with the alternate universe folks. So it was the yellow icon and the displaced icon. So it was kind of a double. Neither one were off for the main crew, but they worked really well together. They were very fast. They had a lot of aliens. So that was, I would just draw and then play everyone I got. That was also very quick, and one mission. The same idea. Do one mission with get the 10-point bonus for the Starfleet headquarters, 5 points from Evil Archer, or a couple. I had a couple of mission accomplished in there for the last couple of points. So, but it worked once. But it was tough.
Yeah,
I think that's a deck I'd like to put together and play in a real tournament, because once it got going, it was a machine.
That's a fun deck. That's what I played at the last constructed tournament. And when I saw you playing it, you had a really crappy draw and really bad luck against me, and were still going super fast. I was kind of surprised you didn't play that for your first round.
I kind of felt that I had deck. A better chance of getting it every time with the Borg. I thought they were a little bit more stable, because they've got so many things that could download people, download events, you know, everything.
Sure.
Just get rolling. And I used all three of my at what cost in the...
there you go.
Part of the rules for this tournament were you had to have no more than 3 cards across both decks. So you had to bring 2 decks, and you couldn't have more than 3 duplication. And none of the missions could be duplicated either. So you had a lot of people... I was surprised. We had 6 people. There were 12 different decks. No one brought the same thing. They could be the same, you had to really mix it up for the two sets.
And not only were everybody playing different decks, but, I mean, I think everybody had, with the exception of doing 2 missions, which I think maybe 2 decks on the day did, everybody had a different way of turning the corner.
Yeah.
We saw assaults, we saw maneuvers, we saw Like the bonus points you talked about with from the Borg, the Starfleet bonus points, deploy the fleet bonus points. It was crazy variety.
Captain caught me on the holodeck with a lightsaber in my hand. And I knew right then I was in for a red shirt reprimand. I was trying to think of something to say, but my Vader helmet gave me away, and the captain looked at me and said, can't use the force.
I kind of went a little obnoxious with my second round deck. I played the Maquis. I kind of went the anti-speed, since I figured that's, you know, everybody was playing really slim decks and going for really fast, you know, one mission wins. So I was like, well, I'll throw in the Maquis. I chose my one mission to be elude Federation forces. So there was not a personnel in my deck that did not have astrometrics or navigation or both. And they were all pretty strong. I threw in like B4 and Persis for some strength people, and then I just threw in a crap ton of annoying Maquis slow you downness. You know, I usually waited till you completed your second attempt on your first mission, and I dropped Biogen, so you can't do that mission anymore. You have to go do another mission. And then I had Strange New Worlds, which about 50-50 shot of whether or not it would help you or not, against the Mirror Starfleet. Probably slowed down a little bit with having to complete the mission with integrity, but I got it out against Thomas, and that helped me not at all. He was playing TNG, Picard, Mashing Commander. You know, it's like, oh, I need Anthro and Law, boo-hoo. But, you know, just enough to throw you and confuse you and, you know, bounce a few people back to hand and throw a damage marker on you, get a couple of bonus points with the Gengwa. You know, it was all right. I probably ought to have beaten Franklin, except that he was totally cheating. with his non-format changing of the rules thing, trying to play that, I can never remember the dilemma, that name of that dilemma, incursion, something incursion, where you have to require 10 more points to win, and that was sort of it. You know, in our format, it didn't really do anything. But I played him in the first round and didn't really realize that. So after he got the second one out on me and I needed 70 points to win and he was blowing through things, I was like, oh, I'm not going to win. I'll just sit here and do nothing. When really I could have just gone and attacked him one more time and gotten my last 10 points and beat him before he finished his mission. But that's what I get for playing Maquis.
Well, yes, that's what you get. I mean, you played Biogenic and Strange New Worlds. Is that the name of the card you played on me?
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, still, with each round being only half an hour, we finished all 7 rounds of the 2 tournaments in, you know, 3.5 hours.
Super fast, man. We were playing Tribbles before the sun went down. It was,
yeah, that was,
it
nice.
Was crazy.
Always nice to have a round of Tribbles. And people showed up for the Tribbles tournament. They didn't come for the regular event, but we have extra people showing up just to play Tribbles.
That was hilarious. Yeah, one of our regulars is on a weird schedule this week for work, so he couldn't come to the regular tournament, but he showed up. And then another friend of ours who doesn't even play Star Trek showed up to play Tribbles. So that was awesome.
So the lesson, if you want more players, play more Tribbles.
Also this week, they released the results for Make It So Challenge 4, posted the Choose Your Own Adventure Challenge, where they had to pick an episode or a storyline from an episode or movie of Star Trek and create 6 cards, so a 6-card cycle based around that. I believe they had to do a dilemma, a ship, a personnel, and a verb, and then they had 2 open slots where they could choose. I don't know about you, but I am seriously impressed with the entries this week.
Oh, beyond floored. I usually do a matrix of, you know, what I like and what I don't like, and all 4 teams came out, you know, almost exactly the same. I had to go back and say, okay, well, I was on the edge about this one. Let's go the other way and see what happens. But everyone was very evenly matched. Everyone did a fantastic job. Things like getting the wording a lot closer to being, you know, exactly what would be on a card, and
right.
And costing things pretty appropriately, I thought, all over. using interesting episodes. What'd you think? There was the battle. Was that the one with the Ferengi?
No, it's called Peak Performance.
Peak Performance, right?
Which was the episode I actually posted. For some reason, I could not get that episode out of my head, even though I knew there were plenty of good TNG sources to use. I had an idea for doing a Stargazer crew, or not Stargazer, a Hathaway crew, sort of, you know, Captain Riker and Geordi and Worf and, you know, a kind of crappy ship that gets better when it has damage markers. They actually went the other route and did the Ferengi side of that, where they came in an ambush. Which I thought was really cool. They did it very well. Made it cost effective. Two teams, actually the combating teams, the ones that are pitted against each other, the Klingons and the Romulans, did the same episode.
Yes. Cause and Effect, which is one of the great TNG episodes, I thought.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to see them each have a different take on, you know, Morgan Bateson, which definitely needs to be a Tui card.
Absolutely.
His ship, and then the effects of the time loops and such. So that was a little easier, because you can kind of put the cards side by side and say, well, I like this one a little better than that one. But again, phenomenal performance, I thought.
Yes, and the, to round out the four, we had the Cardassians did the future episode of Voyager, that whose name escapes me at the moment. But, you know, I looked at it and I groaned for a moment because it's Voyager and it was a future episode, which I kind of liked the first time I saw it, but I got overplayed a lot and I saw it too many times. But I love the Captain LaForge idea and bringing that ship in. No Chakotay, but you know what? All the other Chakotays are so good that nobody'd play with a new one anyway. They put that together really well, too. I liked all the temporal shenanigans. So a lot of really solid submissions this week. It's going to be tough voting. I do not envy the judges one bit.
Yeah, certainly. I think overall, I mean, if I had to just snap decision, one team made cards for not fed.
Yes.
So I have to go with that. Go with that to start out.
Two teams did make didn't make all fed cards. One of those teams was non-aligned, posted by our guest this week, Ben Hosp.
Hello, folks.
So Ben, you got eliminated after challenge 2.
Yeah, I did.
And you've been back every week. It's been great. I think it's very admirable. The way you've continued to post your designs and request feedback to kind of get a jump on, I guess, next year if they hope to do it again. But
yeah,
you've had a lot of really good ideas, so it's been good to see them continue to come out.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you enjoyed them. Actually, after I did it the first week in Challenge 3, they set up a non-aligned forum.
Oh, nice.
Team forum. Yeah, we didn't get a whole – there weren't a whole lot of other people participating in what I posted this week, but you know, if anyone wants to, they're welcome to.
I very well may join you on that, because I definitely had a lot of fun. I kind of took a stab at it this week, just when people were asking in the public, was it the public opinion forums, of what episodes should people do?
Yeah.
And I just, in kicking ideas around for episodes, I started designing cards without even thinking about it. So definitely a lot of fun.
Is this forum that they met up for people who were a part of the competition?
Yeah, this is, they made a team forum for the people.
Okay. So they sort of the resort forum. Everybody who's been kicked off the island can get on a boat and keep playing. That's very cool. Well, I definitely will keep giving all five teams feedback, because I think that's a great idea that you guys kind of keep your hat in the ring.
I definitely appreciate the feedback on what I've done so far.
Now, going to the first two challenges, could you just describe for us a little bit, give us a sort of behind-the-scenes look of the process you guys went through?
Sure. Well, yeah, the first challenge, I don't know how representative this was of the other teams, but, I mean, it was kind of a surprise when it started, and there was so little time to do it that we just ended up scrambling to kind of get cards designed. So we obviously didn't really have a common theme running throughout them. And it was just everyone made a few cards for, you know, the affiliations they had an idea for, and we voted on what we thought were the best ones and ended up submitting that. The second time around, we had more time and we tried to have a better idea of what we were trying to do with each of the missions and figure out what the affiliation needed in terms of what kind of mission would make it that affiliation better. But I still don't think that we got I think one of the reasons why we lost is I still don't feel like we got a handle on designing a card from the bottom up of like, what's the point of this card? And now that I've been through two of the challenges on an official team and two of them kind of on my own, well, one of them with some help from the other non-aligned people, but now I've been through four of the challenges, I'm starting to realize that, like, why they do things like design a card story after they figure out what it's going to do, because it's really easy to fall into the trap of well, I feel like there ought to be a card for this guy, and I know what it should do, but coming up with some like weird overpowered ability because you think that because that's what the guy did on the show.
Right.
Well, this was kind of a different challenge. You were to take the story first. So did you try to approach it the same way?
I feel like this was almost a trap in to try to trick you into designing the story first, which could get you into trouble. And I think a lot of the teams didn't do that. I feel like they actually, a lot of the cards were very good. Especially, I did really like the Bajoran team's Ferengi cards. I liked that they made a little cycle of Ferengi battle cards. And I feel like that's an idea that, I mean, obviously they were designing it for the challenge. They were thinking, well, we should come up with with cards to fit a cool story. But you could have had that idea to do Ferengi battle apart from trying to make a specific story. And then this just happened to be a great story for it.
When you put together your cycle that you posted for that, I must admit, an episode of TOS that I don't think I've ever actually seen.
Yeah.
did you find some story to match a couple of card ideas you had, or did you kind of shimmy it together at a little top down?
Yeah. Well, what I thought about what would be a good mechanic for representing that story, and in that story, Gary Seven is trying to make sure that history unfolds the way that it's supposed to. And the mechanic that I came up with was that you would manipulate the top card of your deck and you would get some benefit for it being the right kind of card. I ended up settling on a high cost card. So I ended up figuring out what would be different ways of using that. I ended up feeling like, well, I could have Gary Seven himself kind of tie it all together and be a big part of it. His secretary can end up helping him rig the top of your deck. There can be other cards that give you benefits from having the top of your deck a high cost card and things like that. So I ended up starting out at what would be a cool mechanic to make the to reflect the story, and then figuring out what story elements would implement that mechanic best.
Cool. I did find it interesting that all but one team in varying generations managed to approach temporalness of some sort. Future Voyager and present TNG and past TOS is just all over the place.
Yeah, and even mine were I mean, just because it was a OS episode, but I did end up putting the temporal keyword on one of on one of the cards, just because I guess those are just the cool stories.
That's what I was thinking.
That people like about Star Trek.
Captain caught me on the holodeck with my Jabba in my hand. A fistful of Vaseline all covered in sand. I was trying to think of something to
well,
say.
Well, one of the points you sort of mentioned is one thing that I have noticed as we've gone through, and both Dan and I have sort of card by card kind of picked at, you know, just constructively picked at entries along the way, and was actually part of the huge improvement this week, perhaps because they had to sort of on their own design the cards from the ground up. Is that there are so many things to think about to get a card right. Does it fit the story? Does it fit the flavor? Does the mechanic work well within the game? Is it underpowered? Is it overpowered? And does that mechanic screw up with anything, any other mechanics already in the game? And, you know, is it costed right? Is it undercosted, overcosted, you know, attributes? All these things, and inevitably, you know, there's feedback to on one end or the other. It seems like everybody is sort of honing in on this now. And this week, there was a lot less of those mistakes on any given thing. Do you think that's just from the experience of coming through, people starting to get the hang of it?
Getting the mechanic right is definitely a big part of it. Like, if you had just told me to just design a Gary 7, like dream card, I never would have had him have that ability that I put on there that involves the top of your deck and an attribute bonus. I would have just have basically, he would have been basically non-aligned Bashir with a lower cost and some different skills. putting him in a cycle like that makes it a whole card, and it's got a whole mechanical feel to it. It's part of a system.
I think it adds a little bit to, memorableness to the character, because if you just throw out, like, I couldn't tell you what any of the Picards have for skills from the first couple sets, but, you know, the one that can download a...
Archaeology, and that's it.
Sure. Yeah. Leadership, probably, maybe diplomacy. You know, one can download a ship, I know one can put cards, put some cards on your deck, and you draw, they all do something different, interesting, and that's what you remember. So the interesting game texts that go with it, I think that's pretty key. And really, that's a big change from first edition, I think, because first edition, people had skills, and that was it, and you used other cards to do things, where in second edition, people do a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the only personnel, like, that I remember, like, what skill they have in terms of it's the lore with navigation. Is the lore with navigation, because I remember that an android with navigation was made my android deck work.
The only personnel skill I can reliably remember, because it makes me angry every time, is that Tolian Soren, whose subtitle, by the way, is Renegade Scientist, doesn't have science.
He's not very good at it. That's why he's a renegade.
He dropped out.
Yeah, apparently. Right.
All right. Well, I would like to thank you very much, Ben, for coming on and discussing this with us.
Sure.
It's nice to get a little insight, because, you know, that's always good for us.
Great.
So before we let you go there, Ben.
Yeah.
this one of the requirements for this challenge was that you had to design a ship. And from what I've seen, it looks like ships could possibly be one of the more difficult things to do. Because there's finally a card that gets rid of game text, but for the most part, they're on the table for the game, and unless you do something weird with them.
And there's already ships that have really strong effects, like Talnot.
Yeah, exactly.
And I heard there's a Defiant that's pretty good.
A Defiant that's pretty good.
Well,
how did you go into designing yours, and what did you think of the others that were presented?
Well, I like the Ferengi ship that got made, just because it's so sort of simple. It's just a normal marauder with an ability that boosts its attributes and to a reasonable level. And I think that's the thing about ships is they have to have reasonable sort of limited abilities, or it can go crazy. The Challenger I thought was pretty cool. The other problem with this challenge was that there's such a strong temptation to make Federation cards, especially Earth cards or TNG cards, and no one really thinks that TNG needs any like help right now. But what I liked about that Challenger is that it has such a non-Federation ability. So I feel like it's okay to give the Federation cards as long as they don't like make existing Federation strategies a lot better. And what I did with the ship that I made was I knew if I was going to do that episode, Assignment Earth, that the only ship I could really make was a USS Enterprise. And I knew that, so I knew I was going to have to make an OS ship, and I kind of tried to give it that temporal download or play an event ability, and that was pretty cool. But the ship was definitely the card I was least happy about having to make. I wasn't able to work it into the mechanic of the rest of the cards, and it's definitely the card that I'm the least happy about out of that set. So yeah, the ships are definitely the hardest to design and get a useful ability that's not going to be crazy.
Harumph. 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 Harumph.
Well, you Harumph. Mentioned you mentioned one of the challenges of doing the designing the cards for Make It So was kind of getting caught in the trap of thinking of an idea for a card story-wise and then sort of over-designing it forwards instead of coming up with a mechanic and working backwards. Was there a design that you kind of had rattling around in mind, or for that matter a concept or story concept that you were hoping to find a place to use and just never got a chance to use, or?
Not so much for this set, just because I started thinking of I figured out pretty early that I wasn't gonna really try to work give the Enterprise make the Enterprise that was going to make part of that cycle of using the top card of your deck. So I figured I needed five ideas of what to do with that level of deck manipulation. And then when I came up with five things you could do with five ways to either manipulate the top of your deck or benefit from the top of your deck being a high cost card, I kind of felt, well, I'm done now. And I didn't think of anything else. There is one idea I had that I ended up throwing out, and that was thanks to feedback from Prylar Durden on the Non-Aligned Forum, which is that the Gary 7 that I made looks at the top card of your deck every turn and adds that to his attributes for the rest of the turn. And he was originally revealed the top card of your deck always when he was in play, and we just continuously added to his attributes, and that was shot down. And I've got to give credit to Prylar Durden for shooting down that terrible idea.
Cool. Well, it sounds like you've had a lot of sort of development experience coming forward just from the beginning, and it's nice that you're continuing to add to that. That the forums are just great for that, and I hope that you continue to do that. Thanks for coming on the show and chatting with us about it, so we can get a little sort of sneak peek of what's going on back there with all you crazy guys designing your cards.
Sure. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, it looks like you get two more people on your team shortly.
Right, right.
Well, once again, thanks for joining us and give us some insight, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon.
Okay, thanks a lot. Bye.
And that was Ben Hosp, former member of the Cardassian team. From the Make It So Challenge joining us. We want to give a thanks to him for stopping by and sharing his insights. We hope to get some more insight with this challenge as it progresses, get some feedback from people on the forums there. I don't know. I think this one's too close to call. What do you think, Dan?
I got to like the Bajoran entry because of the Ferengi. And I think overall I like the Romulans version of that episode better than the Klingons version. I think I like the Klingon version of the ship a little bit better because it was it had a lot of threes on it. But I think I like the Romulan cards just top to bottom. I think I'd rather have those in the game.
I likewise. I feel a little biased because I liked that episode as a choice for the Bajorans, and sort of a little anti-Voyager for the Cardassians. But I'd have to take another look at all the cause and effect cards because they were all good, and I just have to sit down with them side by side before I vote.
Yeah, but really, like I said before. Just everyone just stepped it up this time, and congrats to everyone because it's going to be really rough for the judges.
Absolutely, so, I agree.
I'm looking forward to seeing what they come out with.
Good work, all. But with that, we are out of intelligence to give you this week. We'll be back again after the results for Challenge 4 are out, and with more tournament info as always. In the meantime, on behalf of our producer TK, I want to give a shout out to Warp 11 for their awesome theme music. Thanks once again to Ben Hosp for stopping by and sharing his intelligence. I am Sir Rogue.
And I am Sir Dan.
And I will once again remind you all to expand your power in the universe.
And I will somehow draw 66 to end.
Yes, Captain Kavok. Okay.
Respond.